Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This episode of Whiskey Riff Raff is brought to you by Templeton Whiskey. Originally distilled in the Prohibition era, Templeton Whiskey has always been rooted in the notion that every bottle is an opportunity to share their small-town strong spirit with the world. From their flagship variety of rye whiskey to the top-shelf specialties, there's something for everyone to enjoy, whether sipping it neat while relaxing on the porch or mixing it in your favorite cocktail for a party. Templeton Whiskey isn't just a liquor brand for when you need a strong drink. It's a way of life.
Duckman, Riley Green, presented by Templeton Rye here. Riley, long time no talk. Where are you at right now?
Florida, somewhere in Florida. Jacksonville.
Pretty much sure. Oh, nice.
I was gonna say, I see some like palm tree looking bush shit.
I couldn't tell if that was real or not.
It's all fake.
Oh, really?
Oh.
we're in Florida. It's crazy. We got off the bus last night in South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, and it was pretty cold. And then I get off the bus today with a sweatsuit on or whatever, and it's humid and muggy and hot down here. We're right by the ocean, so that's just touring life. That's how it is.
Are you a guy – you're an Alabama native. Are you not a cold weather fan? Because you spend a lot of time hunting, which, I mean, you got to – if you want to hunt some, you know, some big bucks up north, you got to get into the cold. But are you kind of like a bitch about the cold, or I can deal with it?
Yeah, I would say that, probably more than anything was doing construction all those years and just being out in the elements. I was like, kind of like where, you know, we always complained about how hot it was and the summer on a roof didn't work, but we could all kind of deal with it. And the cold was kind of the same thing. It's like we'd build a fire first thing in the morning and be all shivering and bitching and moaning about it, but it was something we were pretty used to. And now it's like, I think of the cold weather and it makes me think about duck hunting or, you know, deer hunting or something. It just kind of gets me just like that. Spring kind of smell makes you think about baseball, or in the fall makes you think about football. It's kind of the same thing for me with hunting now. It just kind of puts me in a good mood.
Nice. We'll get back to hunting, but I got to ask, you mentioned football. You got an Auburn hat on right here.
It's a sad year for us. Yeah.
So is that, because you played, and I don't know if people know, but you played at Jacksonville State quarterback, right? That's the guy, got the school right. Not that it's obviously a smaller school, right? So do you, like, as you got older, was it like, all right, I'm going to pick like another team that also I root for type of thing?
I was always an Auburn fan. I just grew up in the city of Jacksonville. So I went to Jacksonville High School and then played football at Jacksonville State. It was kind of like a dream growing up to be able to play football at Jacksonville. So that was my hometown school. But as far as like in Alabama, you have to be an Alabama or an Auburn fan. There is no in between, you know. So I was always an Auburn fan growing up, and we played the rodeo in Auburn last weekend, so I had to throw a hat back on. It's been a while, but we haven't had a lot to cheer about.
You got that song about Alabama beating the shit out of Tennessee, and that didn't happen.
What a year for that song to come out.
I forgot why we had some like social thing we were going to do, and I don't know, well, they went the other way. I was going to tweet something at you about it because of after that. I took Tennessee. I made it out pretty well with that bet, but Do you just hate? You just like got you hate Saban in Alabama. It's just like not, or do you respect them and you're just like, God damn it, they're never going to not be good.
I mean, I'm a very big fan of the state of Alabama, and with that, you know, people always kind of that aren't from there are a little confused about. So we don't have a pro team, so we're all Braves fans. Right. Everybody in Alabama is pretty much a Braves fan. We don't have a football team, so we don't have a football team. So it's like you're Alabama or Auburn, which, you know, there's some years when I think Alabama could have beat a pro team. You know, like they've got that kind of. That kind of team, but it was just those years when Auburn won and then Alabama won a couple and Auburn won. Like, you just got to be prideful of that. Saban's obviously a great coach, but it's kind of like where that song came from. I'm an Auburn fan, but my granddaddy Lyndon was such a diehard, like Paul Bear Bryant Alabama fan that you kind of get a little respect for it, you know, and that was what the song was about. And I was telling somebody, we went on a West Coast tour that I headlined, and we played in LA and several places out in California, and they were screaming the words of that song. And it still just goes back to that thing of like, it has nothing to do with Alabama or Tennessee. It's just about the respect for knowing that my granddaddy was such a big Alabama fan that he would have been happy if he died on the day that Alabama beat Tennessee, you know? And I'm actually glad to see that Tennessee is making it a game again. Cause it's been a long time since they've had something to cheer about. So I like to see them do well too, but it's a very funny year to put that song out and then Tennessee beat Alabama like that. I've gotten a lot of tags and tweets.
I said the DMs were probably lighting up.
And it's kind of funny for me because I'm not an Alabama fan, so I'm getting all these Tennessee fans throwing hate at me about how we showed y'all. I'm like, well, yeah, I don't care.
They had some fun there at that game. Who was it? Like Peyton Manning, Kenny Chesney, Morgan. They were all, yeah. Kelsey Darby. They were all like partying and stuff. I was like, yeah, it looked like a good time.
They have not had much to cheer about for a long time when they were around. So yeah. I'm
Do you live in Tennessee full time or do you live in Alabama or kind of go between both?
Or neither? I live on this thing, but I've got a place in Tennessee now. I sold my house in Mount Juliet when COVID hit. Just didn't really have a reason to be up there, but my entire both sides of my family live about 2 miles where my farm is in Jacksonville, Alabama, outside of Jacksonville. It's just really hard for me to get away from there. I bought some property. I got a little farm. My dad and his brother work on my farm for me, just kind of tearing stuff up. Dad tears up my equipment all the time, and I go home and check on everything. It's just that's a really good escape for me, and it's only about 3 hours from Nashville, so it's pretty easy to get down there.
What was that small town life like growing up? Was it like the quintessential – how you see it in the movies, or was it kind of a little mix or great memories, or was it a little?
It was, I'll put it like this. When I first signed a record deal, Jimmy Harnon was the president of BMLG, Big Machine Records. He came down with a camera crew. They wanted to film this, like, where you're from thing, you know? And everybody in that group was just like jaw dropped the whole time at how rural and country that place is, like almost like we staged it. You know, you go a quarter mile from my house and there's the graveyard that it says nothing but green or Boozer or Bonds on every headstone down there. It's all my family. And then you go another quarter mile and there's Green Stores, the only convenience store in Pleasant Valley, Alabama, where I live. And it's, you know, my granddaddy and his brothers are in there playing dominoes every morning. And, you know, it's like we came down the hill from my house and they were wanting to talk to my grandmother. And I said, she's probably cutting grass down here. And they laughed. And then we pulled down, she pulled up on a lawnmower and said, hey, how y'all doing? You know, my mom was making CD labels, burning CDs of mine and selling them at my shows. And hey, they come down there and they're like, well, you can't do that anymore. That's illegal. Yes. So it's a very small town, very much, you know, what you would see in some of the movies, but that's one thing I loved about that place is that it doesn't change much. You know, with all the traveling and Nashville so busy and all the stuff going on, it's so easy to get back to kind of where I started writing from because it's the same as it was when I left.
Do you
go ahead, Wes.
I was just going to say, do you have a lot of hunting property? Do you have a pond out there? Do you kind of do all that stuff?
Yeah, we grew up kind of just hunting on whoever's property. I don't think I was legally hunting on anybody's property.
We're knocking on doors.
Yeah, I had so much family out there. We just kind of, it was understood, like old man so-and-so, he had a bunch of turkeys on his place. But we don't have the deer, the size deer, the number deer that they have up in like Illinois and Kentucky and Kansas and Iowa and all that. So I still do a lot of traveling for hunting. And, you know, it's kind of few and far between when I'm home now. We're so busy. It's a great problem to have, but it seems like for 2 years we've been making up for 2020, trying to get caught up. So I do a lot of hunting on the road, keep my bow with me, and, you know, we try to get it done when we can.
What's your worst hunting experience real quick, Wes? Do you have any, like, any horror stories, or usually pretty good outcomes?
I can say this, and y'all probably both playing sports growing up, I assume, or at least in some competitive fashion, was like those moments or things that you still lay in bed thinking about, not being able to sleep, those like missed passes or whatever it was. And that's how hunting is for me. So I've had several that are keep me up at night, where the big one walked in and I, you know, didn't get a shot or whatever it was. But I went to Wisconsin, like, it's probably been 6 or 7 years ago now, with my brother-in-law and his brother. We just went up there and hunted public land. We were kind of like guessing, you know, had no idea. I think I shot a doe on that trip out of the three of us. We were bow hunting, but I got lost. And it was like 12 degrees, snowing like crazy. And I mean, snowing to the point where it like covered my tracks up. I couldn't just follow my tracks back out. And I walked around and I remember my cell phone was dying. And I sent a text message to my brother-in-law and said, "Hey man, when you get to the truck, honk the horn, you know, and I'll try to go in the direction that I heard it." And he honked a horn and said, "Did you hear that?" And I didn't. So I knew I was way off, and I just joked, but well, if I don't make it out, y'all going to have my stuff. You know, I wandered around for like 4 hours. Remember like tripping over a log and sliding down this big snowy hill and just laying there, all my stuff scattered out. I was like, this is it. You know, it's going to be a skeleton here. But I ended up getting on a little road bed and getting out, but it took me about 4 hours.
Oh man.
That was one of those things where I wasn't as scared as I should have been at the time. Cause I assume I know there's wolves and coyotes and probably bear up there. I don't know, but it was.
They have black bear in Wisconsin.
Not a big fan of that.
Damn. We have quite a bit of outdoors content and articles and stuff. And you'd get a kick out of, we could send you some maybe. When we get them, like vegans, we'll get really upset about, like, you know, just crazy outdoors videos, like cool stuff, like entertaining kind of, you know, nature's metal, whatever you want to say. Like, we even had an old lady like write a letter, wrote it, and sent it to the office where Wes is. She like, it's just like, it's one of the weirdest things. It's one of the most triggering things. Like, people that don't understand that animals are alive and hunters that care do it the right way. But they go eat their steak thinking it grows off of a tree. Right. It's just like, or whatever it may be. But it's pretty wild to see some of the
weird time. I mean, to even not narrow it down to just like the hunting world and people that are against hunting, is it's such a like internet driven time of people can just say whatever they want with no consequences or repercussions and just say it into, put it out into the world on the internet. And I kind of look at it now, like the people that really passionately think they're going to change somebody's mind by typing something out and putting it on Twitter or something are probably a little off anyway.
It does whatever the opposite. It's been, it's like, yeah, it does the opposite.
Tell me how many times you've read something and been like, "Oh, they're right. Yep, I've completely changed my mindset." No, like that's not what happens.
People sell the bow.
Ranting on there, so you know, stuff like that doesn't get to me. But I've been really fortunate that like I don't get a lot of like anti-hunting hate on my social medias. But I think it's because I've done it forever. You know, like I mean, the people that follow me kind of know. And I guess if somebody was to come across me and find it, it's going to be right there. You know, they're going to see it and they can decide if they want to follow me or not. So it's kind of like you don't see a whole lot of it, which is great. It's a lot of hunters, I guess, and people that grew up like me that are following me.
When they like comment on Instagram photos and they're like, "Wow, heartbreaking. Are you going to actually eat that?" And then the hunter replies like, "Yeah, dot, dot, dot." It's like the conversation just like stops. Just like.
It's so easy to get caught up in that, too. I try my very best to. You know, just kind of keep in mind that people don't have anything better to do. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like that's how everybody ate at one point, you know?
Right. It's the best way to eat, right? Like the healthiest.
You feel something on your own, you starve to death, you know? So, and I know that people don't understand the nostalgia of it, I guess, for lack of a better term, of like if your dad or your granddad or your great granddad, whoever took you hunting or fishing, and that was like what y'all did together. And it, you know, and that bond, that's kind of what you do. And it reminds you of that time. Then, you know, I've had some amazing hunting trips that I didn't see anything or even get a shot at anything. You know, I mean, it's just like being out there. And my dad's not a hunter. He's never hunted, didn't hunt growing up. and I take him with me, and he enjoys it. I mean, you know, he's never killed anything. He just likes going, you know, likes being out there, likes to cook and hang out and look around for arrowheads in the woods. And, you know, that's just, it's a different lifestyle. I think if you grew up and you weren't around, it's hard to understand.
Yeah, for sure. What's on what's your bucket list hunt? Like, what's kind of something you're still hoping to do in the next couple of years here?
Man, I get asked all the time about going, you know, and doing like some, you know, there's like a billion different types of goat, you know, that you can go hunt, like mountain goats and sheep and all that stuff. And I just haven't got bored with bow hunting whitetail in the Midwest. Like, that's, it's still hard enough for me. I still go a lot of times and don't have any luck. I started hunting in Arkansas at a place that I've duck hunted for years, and it's a bow hunt only unit in Arkansas. So you cannot take a gun, and it's swampy, and the water level rises and lowers all the time. So like, any sign you find in the woods is so hard to come across, and it just makes it really tough. And like, I could go do that all year and not kill a deer, but it's just so challenging that's, I'm kind of haven't gotten bored with what I'm doing yet. But I drew an elk tag in Montana the last 2 years and have not been able to string together enough days to really go and get it done. So that's something that I'm going to have to accomplish at some point. But I still, like I said, I'm not bored with the chasing deer and ducks and turkey around right now. So I'm going to keep trying that.
Well, not too far from me here in like Evergreen, Colorado, and like Estes Park. And you'll just like drive and you'll go by somebody's front yard and they'll be like 20, 25 elk just sitting there. Just
chilling.
Yeah. It's just like, it's crazy. Like you like, they run the city, you know, you got to like wait in the car. It's just like crossing and it's pretty majestic. Real quick, a couple looking at your Instagram. You've had some interesting hangouts recently. We saw Jelly Roll, saw Cole Wetzel. How was the liver after some of those hangouts? Cause I got to imagine you guys had some drinks.
Yeah, man. Me and Jelly had a wild night one night after a show. I think he opened up for me and hung out on the bus. And I think Corey Smith was with us, and we went back and forth. We all had a little too much, and Jelly was freestyling on everybody. And man, he's a talented dude. I remember coming across him years ago, and I think it was one of those, like, he was just out of prison freestyling in like an apartment somewhere. And, you know, I grew up listening to everything, and I always kind of had an appreciation for that because it was really, I mean, it's people coming up with lyrics, you know, like on the spot. And I remember seeing that. And then, of course, you know, meeting him, and now that he's in the country music world and having some success, I really like it because you can tell he's super appreciative of his opportunity. You know, I mean, obviously you can look at him and tell he's been through a lot, you know, and he's, but it had to be a hard road to get kind of accepted into the country music world.
Yeah,
like he is. And you know, the song's great and he's got a cool story, and I think that's kind of what works for people now, is just real, you know. It's like,
oh yeah,
it's not hard to imagine what that dude's been through and kind of get what he's singing about and believe it. And I think that's what people want to hear at the end of the day, is stuff that they kind of believe.
I saw something with him, I think it was him, or it was a story about him, but he's talking about him and his, I think it's his wife.
Yeah.
And they were like, he was talking, I'm like, oh, that's not, he's just like fucking around. And then it's like, oh no, that was like a true story, like how he met his wife, and it was just like craziness.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, it is kind of interesting. He seems like one of those guys that everybody wants to like become friends with now. Like, he, yeah, like right. good aura type of guy, like a post-Malone vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's just like I said, man, you can't, there's no substitution for people that are just real. And I mean, whether you like his story or not, he doesn't beat around the bush about it. You know, and that's, I think that's what people appreciate. And Co is, I'd never really crossed paths with Co. We've had a few shows. He opened for me at Georgia Rodeo in Athens the other day. And like, I get it, you know, I mean, not even really knowing his music that well, like, it's a thing. Like, it's really like Tom Petty ish, you know, kind of a, it's not like what you think of when you think of Texas country. And no, yeah. I've always kind of enjoyed that, man. It's so hard to have your own genre, yeah. I guess. I was always such a big fan of Mike Ryan for that reason. He's not Texas country to me in the sense of what I, you know, like Turnpike and, you know, even Cody Johnson, that type of stuff. So I always liked it. And Co's got a cool thing, man. He's he gets after it too. So you got to appreciate that. I think I'm probably a little older than he is, so I've had some of those years. I try to dial it back when I can.
Oh, I know. We had him on recently, and he just woke up. It was like 3 p.m. And it was like, he had a nice big glass of wine. He's like, oh, I got to take it easy. I'm just kind of hair of the dog, 3 p.m. wine, like after waking up. But he's another guy that's real. Cause we've been in this long enough too, where we've kind of met the Nashville people, the label people, the independent artists, like Muscadine Bloodline, people like that we love. Yeah. And Bama Texas, boys. Whatever. And it's like as big as Ko is and like how fast he can sell tickets, he like stays like just like super like humble and like nice. It's refreshing for us because we've met the extremes, I think, over the years. So a guy, even like a guy like yourself, you're like getting huge. Obviously, you're going on a world tour with Luke Combs, right? It's like, but you stay like level. Maybe being outside with no cell phone service helps, I would imagine, like in the meditation side of things. But seems like it doesn't get to your head.
Yeah, I think that the only way I've said that it could really change you, and I mean success in the country music industry, is if it was just given to you. You know, if like overnight, and I don't even think this happens anymore, but like just say you're a good looking dude and you go to Nashville and some record label finds you and gives you some songs and dresses you up and puts you out there and you become a big hit and you're out with Tim McGraw next year. And then, I could see that being something that was so drastic that you're just like, man, maybe I'm the shit. You know, I don't know. But for me, it was like,
that's a real person.
There's no amount of success that I've had that wasn't given to me by somebody else. I mean, I may have written some songs and, you know, driven late at night and traveled quite a bit, but I'm still playing shows for people that are buying my tickets and downloading my songs. And really before a song on the radio, sharing my music with somebody else. So it's hard not to be appreciative of that. That's where it came from, you know, and groups like Musky Dine and Co and Mike and all these people, they kind of camp the same way. It's a little different than it used to be, but you can have a fan base without having that radio hit. And I think that what so many people struggle with is it's kind of hard to do both. You know, I say all the time, the toughest thing that I have in my world right now is to keep putting out songs that I think are really cool and that are unique or that are maybe, for lack of a better term, me, but also can get played on the radio. You know, because it takes a certain kind of song to get on the radio right now. And look at all the guys that are having a lot of success that don't have a song on the radio. The Tyler Childers, Zach Bryan, all these guys that are doing something without that. So it's kind of like it's still got a lot of value and a lot of people still listen to the radio, but trying to keep both is a tough thing, man. It's tough not to look at what everybody else is doing when you're living in Nashville.
Yeah, I can imagine that's hard. It's funny because before we hit record, mentioned the Luke Combs in Colorado show and Zach Bryan was one of those openers. And you talk about radio play, and we've been kind of critical of radio over the years here. And even if you like some of the songs, it's like the repetitiveness kind of really starts to grind at you. But seeing like a full stadium, an NFL stadium, seeing back every word of a Zach Bryan song opening for Luke Combs, you're just like, this is like what music's supposed to be, right? It's like the whole commercial side of it. It's like great if it can work. I think Cody Johnson, you mentioned earlier, is like a great example of that where kind of came from that, kind of has his own sound and it works. You the same, but it's like, I don't see like a Riley Green, even when you do a song with Thomas Rhett, who kind of goes pop sometimes. And we've joked with him through DMs about some stuff. The song You're On with him is like a cool, like fun, like country song. Like it's, you know, it's not like a serious song, but it's fun and it's country. So are you very particular about like, if you're going to do something a little outside of the box, if it's a collab or whatever, it's, still fit me.
100%. I like Thomas is great. And y'all know this from common sense. That is a huge opportunity for me to have a song like that with Thomas, not to mention award show performances. It's just a big opportunity for a guy that's only had one number one at country radio to, you know, we're in the top five right now with that song, but I wouldn't just go cut anything with anybody. That's a country sounding song. It's definitely lighter. It's definitely down the middle and a fun summertime song, but you know what? That's the kind of songs that radio loves and the radio listener loves. It kind of, to me, it's like there was this girl was kind of that type of song. It's not going to make you cry, but it might make you want to roll the window down and turn it up on a summer day when you're riding around your buddies or on the lake or whatever. And that's kind of what radio is become. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of great songs like that, but I don't think that's really my bread and butter. I think that I probably, if I picked up a guitar right now to ride, it would be more in a ballady, you know, try to make somebody feel something type of song. And
You're good at that for sure.
People also don't want to ride around a cry all day. So it's kind of trying to find that middle ground.
You don't have a specific dog song, but your line about dogs and I wish grandpa's never died. Yeah. I swear to God, like I got Maverick in here somewhere laying down like it, like there's something, I don't, people like that hate country music talk shit about like, oh, my dog or like whatever. It's like, fuck that. Like, if unless you're a
you have a dog,
right? And it's like, did that line in that song, was that just like, I need like a, like a, like a, that's like the closer coming in at the end of a baseball game. It's like, I need something towards the end that's just going to make people feel something on top of already a really heavy song.
Well, that song was a little, first off, that was one of those songs that just kind of came, you know, I mean, I wrote it by myself in about 45 minutes. I think I had the idea for a while after my granddaddy passed away. I was flying back from Vegas to go to the funeral, and I wrote the title down and not knowing what it was going to be. But it's one of those songs that was a little tough to write, in that when you do, when you name things like that, that really have a lot of meaning. I mean, they're still talking about country music on country radio.
Yeah.
Of course, the Mama Tried, you know, the first kiss, like, you know, you're talking about some pretty big things. Wishing everybody overseas is going to make it home. You kind of have to top yourself as the song goes along. You know, you can't put that line there and then not put something that's a little bigger after it, you know. And what I loved about the song when I wrote it was, you know, there's a lot of songs that talk about your grandpa, and I didn't want to write a song that was, about my grandpa. I kind of wanted to write it from the stance of, like, these are some values that I think my granddaddy taught me. And, you know, there was actually, looking back, I kind of had two mindsets about it. You remember the song, Are the Good Times Really Over, Merle Haggard? Mm. I wish a buck was still silver, yeah, and girls could still cook and all the stuff. That was, you know, a great song and a great thought. But I liked taking it a little further and going, I wish these things were the case, but they're things that couldn't really happen. Fictional things like coolers that never ran out of beer and cars having truck beds and all. So it kind of made it a little lighter maybe, but the best thing about that song is what you just said, is that people have a line that does something to them.
Yeah.
To make it through that whole song and be fine.
Yeah,
I wish good dogs never got gray and old. That's cool. You know?
Well, for me, I never met my grandfathers. They were both died before I was born. So like, I can still feel the song in a lot of different ways, but then every time I hear that, I'm like, God damn.
Yeah.
I had a guy come up to me after a show one time. He was an older gentleman. And he said that he never knew his grandfathers, but he was a grandfather. And that song got him for that reason. So I'm like, you know, that just goes to show you don't have to know what you're trying to accomplish when you write something. Just write it and, you know, try to be as real about it as you can.
I mean,
and people find a way to make it about their own life.
I mean, I think it was like your acoustic performance. I forgot where you guys filmed the video a few years back. Wes, I think that one went viral for us. Also, your Opry performance when you did it, I believe.
Yeah.
Or it was another performance, right? With the whole, like, the country radio
line. The live one might have been in Alabama.
Phoenix City.
Yes.
Well, you know, the video of me playing it the first time is the one that's really shitty quality, and you can hear the crowd kind of just reacting to it. And that's the one that went viral for me, but I didn't take it. Somebody else took it and put it up. But what was the craziest thing that I saw was about 2 or maybe 3 weeks after that, song wasn't recorded. I had another single at country radio. We were talking about going in and recording it, but I went and played the West Virginia State Fair, and I'd never played in West Virginia. And it was probably, I don't know, 4, maybe 5,000 people there. And they screamed it, every word of the song, off of a video they saw on YouTube. And that's what you see with all these guys now.
Yeah.
You know, it's people learning songs off of that. So that was my thing, is like, you can't go make somebody go and listen to a song that's just a shitty YouTube video. You know, they have to go and want to do that. That's shared. Mm-hmm. That's very organic. And that kind of told me that I was onto something with that song. It might be a big song for me.
Nice. Yeah. I feel like we've had a few moments where we've found some shitty cell phone quality video from a show, unreleased song. That was one of them probably we shared. And then, you know, different artists over the years, and just seeing like them explode. And like, a little feather in our cap was that Scotty McCreary's Five More Minutes. He ended up recording that song and then releasing it as a single after it went super viral on our site.
That's cool.
And then it was his first number one in like 5 years or something like that. I mean, he was under that American Idol contract, but like, it was we're like, all right, cool.
You know, I'm sure y'all are probably the same way, but I've always been like, if I hear a song on the radio that I like, or wherever I hear it, I go to YouTube and I type in acoustic, whatever the song is, and I want to see that person sing it. And a lot of times it's in like a radio room or somewhere, and I just want to hear them sing it by themselves. I don't know why. I like to see if it does anything to me, if it seems like they really mean it, or, you know, especially if they wrote the song, hear them talk about how they wrote it. I mean, that's such a cool thing for me.
Yeah, and I feel like before we got started, me and Steve would just be in our like dorm rooms or in our college apartments, and like oh, so-and-so is on tour right now. Let's just see what they're playing. Like, oh, and this like shitty video is like, oh, this is the best we got of this new song. But like,
you would get like excited about back in the day, like, oh, what's their entrance like? What's their like, you know, it's like Kenny Chesney started coming out of the 50-yard line at the stadium shows and all that type of stuff. Your last Instagram post real quick. Was, I don't know if that was last night or whatever. You were dancing with a security guard over there. Lucky lady, a lot of jealous, female fans. It was a little fun moment. Who took that? And, was that, were you and her talking about it? Or was that just completely organic?
That was me. I think that was it. That was at Athens Rodeo or Auburn Rodeo One, but I'd got into the sauce a little bit and was having a good time. And I think I was letting the band kind of do a little pass around play. And I just went over there and started flirting with this older lady security guard. And she flirted right back. So it was a funny little moment. I don't know who took the video. I just saw it and reshared.
You have some really good, your photographer's awesome. Is a Samuel Crabtree, right? Yeah. He's a
Brian Sam. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that guy. And, you had some good shots of taking a shot, throwing it. So if you're, what is it? Tequila? Is it whiskey? Is it, if you're doing like a little
shot on stage, it's always tequila. It seems like it's a little, I don't know. It kind of makes you wake up a little bit, I guess. And we always do it like the second or third song. So it kind of, you know, gets me going, I guess, once I've got on. But I've been drinking during the show, like a little Tito's and Crystal Light. Something about that seems a little healthier.
Isn't that the Miranda Lambert recipe?
Oh yeah, she might have it, something like that. Yeah,
I think she was a Tito's and Crystal Light. That was like her like Randa Rita thing or whatever. Like
it works, it'll do the
but trick. Is Crystal Light and not the stuff, and not to get like into like the crunchy, not that I live in Colorado got crunchy, but is Crystal Light the stuff that has the, like, you know, when you get the sugar-free gum, and it has warning and it has like the stuff in it. Is Crystal Light one of those like bad artificial sweetener things? It probably tastes amazing, right? You're like, shit, I got to go take a look at this.
He's like, what the hell's in this?
You got me worried. So
artificial sweeteners, if it is, like, you're almost sometimes better with the sugar, right? Or the stevia is now like the hip thing.
What's it supposed to be warning me of, though?
It starts with a P. I don't know if it's in there or not.
Or like aspartame, isn't that the one? Or
yeah,
like
aspartame.
Well, I'm about to find out.
What the hell is a Crystal Light?
Contains phenylalanine.
Oh shit! I think that's it.
Hey man,
it's ruined your. I just ruined your.
Great.
No, but mate. Well, hey, you said your dad likes to cook or whatever. It's like. Get them, go buy some lemons, go buy a little, like a little quick squeezer, get a little regular sugar, which is fine. Because it helps kind of with the little salt in there.
With some natural ingredients.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. It just takes too long. Yeah. I mean, that's a great idea.
Isn't Crystal Light like Crystal Light's lemonade? No.
I can't get my bass player to zest a lemon for me while I'm on stage when I need another drink.
The fact that you know what zesting is like, like, that's pretty good.
Hey, man, I like to cook. I don't know how much zest I do, but I enjoy it, man.
That's like my favorite thing to do in the world is cook.
Yeah.
I imagine as a hunter, you gotta cook that stuff up.
Yeah.
Are you doing Liver King shit and eating the liver raw? Are you doing any of that?
No, I like stuff that tastes good, man. It took a while to figure out a way to make duck taste good, you know, and that was like,
so I love duck, man.
Try a lot of things. And now I think I enjoy cooking because I'm on the road so much. You really can't. Yeah, and I like to try to eat healthy, you know. So I mean,
come on, dude, you're fucking shredded. Like, you go on your Instagram, it's like, are you one of these guys? I saw some interview with Sam Hunt a while back, and he was like, how do you stay ripped? And he's like, I play basketball. It's like, come on, like you're lifting weights, right? You're doing the thing. Like, you're a former athlete. Like, you know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, I will say I used to play pickup basketball a lot, and that was a great way to stay in shape. Now, you know, my band's not really.
Yeah, for the cardio. Yeah.
Yeah, not really athletes, and, you know, we don't do a lot of that. But I try to work out when I can. I keep a little bit of stuff on the bus and the trailer that I can kind of break out. And it's tough. This lifestyle is tough. I mean, I got on the bus last night, and I think at 11:30 there was like 9 pizzas from some like delicious. And like, how do you walk past that to go get in the bed and go to sleep? You know, they got catering 3 meals a day, and it's tough, man. It's tough to eat right, and you're out drinking every night and want to sleep all day. But I try to do a little something. I think I get most of my exercise and, I guess, healthy lifestyle when I'm not on the road. You know, if I get in on Sunday, I try to eat right and work out Sunday through about Wednesday and then get back on the road and eat like crap again.
Tackle Bell.
Yeah.
When's the next album coming out? Was the fan question everybody wants to know? I feel like you have so many great, like, kind of just unreleased songs you've teased over the last year or two, and then you'll sneak a little EP in there, sneak a live album in there, sneak this in there.
It's been kind of great having a single with Thomas, because I've never had that ability in my life to sit back and kind of pick out what the next one's going to be, you know? So I'm going to go in the studio. I'm going in for one day, like November 2nd, and we're going to cut the next single. And then over the next probably 2 months, I'm going to go in and cut an album. I've never done that before. Never. It's like y'all said, I've always gone in and cut 3-4 songs at a time and put them out. And that's kind of the new thing. It's so much easier. But at the same time, I've never gone and done a whole project, and I've got so many songs now. And I think that's kind of the next step, is to put out. I mean, I've had my debut album. I think it's time to just put out another full-length album. And, you know, time is great with going out with Luke for stadiums next year. And, you know, things are going pretty well. So it's, you know, got to keep putting music out while the fans want to hear it.
He said it's the world tour. I don't have the dates pulled up, but when it comes to the parts of the world outside of America, are you
Doing the American world.
Okay.
They still be doing this, is overseas dates. I'm doing Canada with him in November, but all the dates I'm doing with him next year will be US dates.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I saw. So, who else is it? Lainey Wilson. Who was else on the
lineup? Is Brent Cobb, who I love.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe Flatland Cavalry.
Yeah, I think they're on there.
Lainey, and then me.
I mean, come on, that's solid. A lineup right there.
Solid.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough to. I mean, me aside, that's gonna be a tough tour to beat next year. I mean, doing stadiums with that group. I mean, I'm kind of excited by just seeing Brent Cobb play in a stadium. I assume they're playing acoustic.
Or maybe Brent's awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome, man.
Luke has that, like, stage presence that's – it's so unique, where it's, like, for a guy that can kind of just, like, walk around and not be, like, too, like, you know. That voice, yeah.
He's got a little more – I think he's got a little more movement in the show than even me. You know, I'm not George Strait.
You're like the Alan Jackson almost, where you kind of can pull – but you can pull that off. You can kind of just stand there and get the crowd going. Like, that's a quality.
That was a strange thing, too, when I started – going on major tours, and this is nothing against people that do or can, but I started seeing guys that really did that. I mean, didn't have a guitar half the show. We're going out and, like, you know, almost dancing and all that. And I've got nothing against it, but I just, like, it's almost hard to go, like, man, do I need to be doing that?
Right. You know, I want to know what to do with my hands.
Yeah. And I've just never done it. And it was kind of hard to stick to my guns on that. Obviously I think I'd look like an idiot if I went out there and tried to do it. So that was a pretty easy decision, but it's just, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's so hard to have blinders when you're out there with everybody else seeing, but at the end of the day, that's what makes people want to see you, is if you're doing something that's a little different, you know, and that's just, I mean, I think Luke's got his own thing completely, you know.
Alan over here behind Wes, he'll even just sometimes he'll rest his hands on the guitar.
Oh yeah,
just have it and just be doing it. Real quick before we let you go, we'll go ahead, Wes.
I would say Straight will do that. Even Chesney will just Tim McGraw. I might hold the guitar and I'm like, you're not playing that, man. Like, you don't need to. You're just singing. Chesney runs all over the damn place. Like,
he's a guy that
I can remember Chesney's. Thinking when I was trying to decide how to react to people that might be kind of pushing me towards trying something a little different, is going would Jamie Johnson do this?
Yeah, that's a good strategy.
And I don't have Jamie's voice to get away with being just completely mellow on stage, but cool for somebody that can get away with just kind of standing there and telling their story.
Oh, right.
Without having a whole lot of, I always thought that was cool.
Yeah. And real quick, a couple questions. One, I don't think you're going to answer that I'm asking everybody now, but who's your best friend in country music, whose music you like the least? You don't have it.
What a horrible question.
I love asking this question lately because some people bust somebody's balls. I'm just joking. Is there anybody
that you're willing to name? Or maybe a song where you were not my favorite.
Well, I mean, I'm.
Yeah, does anybody ever send you a song and you go, they're like, hey, man, I'm so excited. Is that, that's got to be really fucking awkward. Somebody sends you something that you're close with. Maybe it's not your style of country or whatever.
So I will tell you this. The first time I took Thomas Rhett duck hunting, we started talking about doing.
I knew that name was going to come up.
And he played me a couple of songs. And I'm not going to say that I didn't like the songs, but I said, man, I can't. That's not me. And I even remember saying that, like, that will be a hit for you. Like, killer song, just not my style of thing. And I get that. A lot of that's in demos, too. People make demos a little poppier nowadays just because, you know, I think that's.
You can get the green light.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but I've definitely been sent some songs and heard some songs that I was not a big fan of that I knew were good songs.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that makes sense. And then lastly, we're talking about the working out stuff, and we've done a couple of these tweets. It's pretty funny. Like, if you're in a bar fight, like, who do you want on your side, or this and that? Like, when I think about the country music landscape, you got to be up there as far as, like, guys I think that could kick most guys' ass, probably. Like, I don't know, like, who, like, Old Man Strength, like, Trace Atkins. I think Garth Brooks probably got some crazy shit going on there, but Old Man Strength, you know, like, Dad Strength, like, the type of shit. He, like, bench press a fucking, like, little Mazda. What are you – is there anybody out there, if you had to do a cage fight, that you'd be worried about? Because I feel like, Riley, you're probably kind of – you're probably, like, the heavyweight champ if it turned into a who can survive out there.
I don't know. I mean, Trace Atkins definitely a big old joker, that's for sure. And yeah, he's got that look, too. He's got that, like, Sam Elliott intimidation look.
He plays like bikers in McConaughey movies and stuff.
He really is. It's great. I can remember thinking when I think I Love This Bar video came out, Toby Keith.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a guy in there that, like, beat him up in the video. And I just remember thinking, like, that'd be a big old dude, because I think Toby Keith's a big old guy. And he seems like he can scrap, you know, like, he's just kind of rough. But I don't know, man. I hope we don't have to find out.
Well, we'll pose a question maybe on Twitter and see what people. I feel like you're going to get a lot of votes.
We'll see. Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, thank you for coming back on after the little technical difficulty there. And Crystal Light, maybe tonight.
No, I can't do it now. You got me all messed up.
Change it up. Well, stay safe out there, brother. And hopefully we can see you soon and have some drinks in person.
Yeah.
Sounds good, man. Good talking to y'all. We'll catch up soon. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Thank you, Riley. See you, man.